If you'll turn quickly to our theme passage for Wednesday nights, Galatians chapter 5. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, looking at different aspects of it. Fruit of the Spirit is the work of the Spirit of God miraculously in our heart when we yield to Him and He produces the life of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is the opposite of who we are, and it is a revelation of who He is. That when you look at these different aspects of the fruit, remember that God produces all, some aspects of all of these whenever we're walking with Him. And what that is really a display of the beauty of our Savior. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, we've looked at the first several, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and last week we looked at the term gentleness. The term gentleness is often in the New Testament translated goodness, and it has the idea of the graciousness, the wonderful beauty of goodness that comes, that marks who Christ is, and our response to people in the fullness of an expression of love. The term goodness is similar but different, and I'm only going to take a minute, obviously, because of time here tonight, but it is a term that is not found in common or classical Greek in this way. It's found four times in the New Testament. It's from the simple root, good, right, morally good. And so it has the idea of the energy and activity of goodness, zeal for goodness, virtue which is opposed to all that is evil, and includes uprightness and kindness of heart and life. In other words, it is the energy of good. It is the opposite of sin. It is the beauty of righteousness in action. It is a person. It is the Holy Spirit showing forth the goodness of our God. These terms are they're hard to define because, folks, they define God is what they do. And so they are the opposite of our normal self-centered evil perspective. This is the most wholesome thought you can have about what a good person would be or what God is. I mentioned last week how you're struck by Spirit-filled Christians who really walk with the Lord, and you appreciate their graciousness, the genuineness of their life. And it is such a comfort to meet Christians that are so consistent that you know they're wholesome. They are good. I mean, they still have the flesh, but they have been so permeated by the righteousness of Christ because of their choice to walk in the Spirit moment by moment, day by day, that you realize that their thought processes, their actions, their pursuits in life are good. And our culture, folks, has been marked over the years by revivals in which there were good people and there was a goodness in our culture, and we're losing that reality. We're not speaking about our goodness. We certainly make the choices to do that which is good, but we're speaking of the inward-out goodness of our God. So this should be the distinctive of a believer. If you'll turn over just a few pages to Ephesians chapter 5, we find one of the uses of this word. Ephesians chapter 5, here this great practical chapter on being a follower of God, an imitator of God as dear children, walking in love. And then we have another idea of the fruit of the Spirit, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit, and the emphasis there is the fruit of the light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So it has here the emphasis on when we are walking in the Spirit, there's no darkness at all. There's no cover. There's no evil. There's no deception. It's light. You know, have you been around a person and you're trying to figure something out and they're just walking with God and just their very presence and a simple answer all of a sudden, oh, that's it. Oh, absolutely. It's light. Or, you know, you have somebody that's godly, a walk into a situation in which there's some evil maybe or going on, and all of a sudden that light just makes everybody scurry. You know, it's just a powerful thing. And so we need to be a shining light in a very dark world. And the world doesn't like that, by the way. That's where a lot of times persecution comes. But there should be goodness. That's why we have to make so many decisions to maintain a light in our understanding of truth and what we do. And there needs to be that genuineness. And then secondly, if you'll turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We see the word used again. Verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have Christians under persecution, and this is written to encourage them. And he said, we're praying for you that you will be worthy of the calling that God has given you, that you'll walk that way, and that you'll fulfill the pleasure of his goodness. So not only is goodness part of a Christian's life, it ought to be our pursuit to have our lives just filled from every aspect because of God's grace with good things. Purity, a heart for what is right, sacrifice, selflessness, opposing evil, dealing with that which is not right. By the way, let me say an application for a church to be good is a church must exercise discipline. A church must deal with that which is evil. You know, isn't it amazing in our day that contemporary churches have brought evil in as part of their worship? And darkness is there? No wonder we have such a confused nation. You say, well, we need to attract people. Folks, light will do a lot of things. But it's not going to attract the nature of evil, but it's going to expose evil and then give hope, and it will give truth and will expose what is reality. And churches ought to be characterized, and people's lives and families ought to be characterized by goodness, not selfish and not filled with impurity and that type of thing. I remember in my 11th grade year in my youth group, God had worked in my 10th grade year and mightily in my heart, and I had personal revival, and so did a couple others. Well, we had revival in that youth group in my 11th grade year, and I mean it was a wide sweeping move of God. And I remember the distinctive difference in the whole atmosphere of youth meetings and of just the whole everything about how we operated. We moved from the balcony down to the front pews, and no youth pastor told us to do it. In fact, the best thing would have been back with our families, but anyway, that's the way it was in those days. And I remember how on bus trips, I remember when I got right with God, I had to just sort of move to the front because there's so much darkness. I'm not talking about it being dark at night. It's just dark. Things talked, innuendos, so on. Man, I remember when revival swept across our youth group, it was talking about, there were little groups praying, and this went on for months. Groups would be praying, and we'd be singing, and we were talking about the Lord, and there wasn't anything funny or pious about it. It was just an absolute joy. And guess what happened? Our youth group went from about 30 to 150 during that time. Isn't that amazing how that worked? And we were all in public schools, and God began to get prayer meetings and Bible studies going in those schools. I tell you, the goodness of God is a great thing. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And I'm telling you, if you want to have a good time, just be around people who are filled with the Spirit and there's goodness there, because it's Christ. Aren't you glad he's good? Aren't you glad you can just count on the fact he's good? He's never evil. And that's what we ought to be. The lift of the light of the Lord. And then if we'll quickly turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. In verse 14 we read, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." And so here, he is thankful that the God of hope had built confidence in them to fill them with joy and peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit we've just been studying. "Because you are believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." That's verse 13. And then he said, "I'm persuaded this is happening, and therefore you are full of goodness and knowledge and able to admonish one another." A couple of final thoughts here is that we need to have a heart for goodness. It's not how close you can get to the world, it's how close you can get to your good God. It's not how much we can fit in and be accepted by a dark, evil world, it's how much we can be a blessing because we're letting the light shine. Totally different perspective. And it says also to admonish one another. Light reveals. It needs to be in a loving, godly way, but I'm telling you, our lives ought to be a constant conviction. The goodness of God leads to repentance. And so much more. I just went through that very quickly. But the goodness of God, the fruit of the Spirit. And I think we know so little today of the filling of the Spirit because we just choose to let ourselves be in darkness too much. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. God's people should love light because through the power of the Spirit, their deeds are good. And there's a good conscience, and there's just a love for good things. Do you love good things? Well, so much to say, but may God give us that kind of heart to have a real desire for the wholesomeness and goodness of God.